If detectors are placed in front of the two slits to sneak a look at which slit a particle is going to pass through, then it seems possible to close the other slit without affecting the particle's trajectory. When such a delayed choice experiment was later actually conducted, instead of an interference pattern, there was an enlarged image of the slit. In trying to measure the position of the particle to establish through which slit it would pass, it is disturbed from its original course and the interference pattern fails to materialize. The physicist has to choose, says Bohr, between either tracing the path of a particle or observing interference effects. If one of the two slits of S2 is closed, then the physicist knows through which slit the particle passed before hitting the photographic plate, but there will be no interference pattern. Bohr argues that this choice allows an escape from the paradoxical necessity of concluding that the behavior of an electron or a photon should depend on the presence of a slit in the diaphragm, S2, through which it could be proved not to pass. The two-slit experiment was for Bohr a typical example of the appearance of complementary phenomena under mutually exclusive experimental conditions. Given the quantum mechanical nature of reality, he argued, light was neither a particle nor a wave. It was both, and sometimes it behaved like a particle and sometimes like a wave. On any given occasion, nature's answer to whether it was a particle or a wave simply depended on the questions asked, on the type of experiment performed. An experiment to determine through which slit in S2 a photon passed was a question that solicited a particle answer, and therefore no interference pattern. It was the loss of an independent objective reality and not probability. God playing dice, that Einstein found unacceptable. Quantum mechanics, therefore, could not be the fundamental theory of nature that Bohr claimed it to be. Einstein's concern and criticism provided a most valuable incentive for us all to re-examine the various aspects of the situation as regards the description of atomic phenomena, recalled Bohr. A major point of contention, he stressed, was the distinction between the objects under investigation and the measuring instruments which serve to define, in classical terms, the conditions under which the phenomena appear. In the Copenhagen interpretation, the measuring instruments were inextricably linked with the object under investigation. No separation is possible. While a microphysical object, such as an electron, was subject to the laws of quantum mechanics, the apparatus obeyed the laws of classical physics. Yet, Bohr had to retreat in the face of Einstein's challenge as he applied the uncertainty principle to a macroscopic object, the first screen, S1. By doing so, Bohr had imperiously consigned an element of the large-scale world of the everyday to the realm of the quantum as he failed to establish where is the cut between the classical and the quantum worlds, the border between the macro and micro. It would not be the last time that Bohr played a questionable move in his game of quantum chess with Einstein. The spoils for the victor were just too high.